Hey, everybody. Welcome back to this. I'm your host, Shauna Griffiths. And today's Real Talk is with a real leader who I'm so excited to have on today. And I'm actually really grateful that he's become a friend of mine. Michael Taylor, thank you so much for joining. Welcome.
Thank you for having me, Shauna. I appreciate it.
Yeah, so glad. So folks, I'll give you a little bit of a look into what we're going to talk about today. So of course, we're going to talk about career evolution. And a little bit of self-evolution as a part of that. We'll talk about selling related to Mike's role as a senior account executive for Microsoft. We're going to talk about his content series, which is amazing, and the impact that he is making there, and then mindset. So as people know who listen to this, who follow anything I write about, mindset is huge, and it is a very big key to being able to navigate this challenging world and to make an impact. So, and I should also wait and give a shout out. So Mike and I were first introduced by a mutual friend, Charles Johnson, CJ, I always call him CJ. And then we quickly realized that we had a lot of other people in common, like the great Courtney Carter. And I was thinking about this morning, Mike, like there's one thing that's like, but all three of you that I just love is that authenticity, that sense of self and that realness, and also making an impact and using your voices. So you keep good company.
Thank you. Yeah. Super grateful to have them as friends. So shout out to CJ and Courtney. Like I still text them randomly at the most craziest time. So yeah, amazing people.
Yeah. So, all right. So we're going to jump into this, looking at your career. And so you've worked at some pretty baller brands with ESPN, NBC Universal, Under Armour, the blue chip brand itself, Microsoft. So congratulations on your journey. So I would just love for you to share, like, you know, what's it been like, and how have you made your choices, you know, that mark your evolution to your various roles?
Yeah. I guess I'll first start off by just saying thank you again. I can't say how much I appreciate and value you as a friend, colleague, peer. Just really, really grateful for our friendship. So to answer your question, to be honest with you, I think there's this social statement of everyone saying I never really intended of getting into media or advertising, and that's, it rings true to myself as well. Coming out of college, I was very much so trying to make it like a professional athlete route, or either boxing or just something where I wasn't sure where my direction was going to go. And I kind of started with ESPN, honestly, off of the direction from one of my uncles. He knew a friend that was working at ESPN, who happened to go to Delaware. Shout out to the Fighting Blue Hens and Greg Cozine. Thank you for giving me that shot, Greg. And I pretty much just sent him an email introducing myself, telling him how hungry I was. And I pretty much set a calendar invite to myself every month to send him an email saying, hey, Greg, it's me again. hitting you up again. Is there any more jobs that you have? Is there anything I can apply to?
I love that.
That kind of consistency and persistence, I think, is what has pushed me along in my career to these different, I would say, really strong brands to kind of work at. And I would say they're brands that I saw myself really gravitating towards because I saw the utility behind it. And I could recognize the content they either put out or created internally was something that I could see myself being passionate about selling. So that has kind of been like the evolution in regards of how I'm identifying brands of companies that I want to align myself with. What's something that I can innately see myself working at? And it's not this fabricated kind of emotion where I'm walking into work and being like, well, today, you know, I'm selling textiles, you know, no shade thrown at textile selling, but just something that I'm not necessarily passionate about. So that's been like at least my bullseye of identifying companies that I feel bring value to me, and I want to reciprocate that value back to them.
Nice. And so as you've taken this journey, you talked about being in selling, so we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But do you feel that, or how have you evolved as a person as you've gone on this journey and gone to these different places? You know, have you noticed that along the way, or is it just something that you notice kind of at this point looking back?
It's definitely something I've noticed. Think the progression of who I was when I started at ESPN and where I am currently and how I conduct myself, how I act, think, talk, et cetera, have definitely progressed, not necessarily changed of like who I am as a core commonality, but in regards to like business acumen and how I've kind of seen the like broader picture of things has definitely changed. I think coming out of college, I know I'll apologize in advance. It's probably going to be a lot of sports analogies just because.
That's good.
It fits right in line with me, but like coming out of school and ball, super raw. I'm really shitty at hiding my emotions, which is a gift and a curse. And being able to identify and acknowledge that and be able to hone that in a little bit more was really tough for me in the beginning, especially in the dynamic of like working with agencies, right? And you go being on a football field where it's like, it's very competitive, it's very aggressive, it's very kind of, putting yourself out there to kind of shine. And it's more so action first and then get recorrected and the kind of course correct from there moving forward. I would come out the gates like super hot. So if an agency person called me and like they were rude or they're asshole to me, it was really tough for me. Yeah. I'll never forget, like I hung up a phone once and I was like, man, what a dick. And the phone didn't hang up correctly. And and my AE at the time, shout out to Sal Toludo at ESPN. He like called me in the office and was like, dude, you got to rein this in, man. Like, I love the passion. I love how you feel, but like, you got to check this. And that was like a real moment of clarity for me that I think started my journey to being more self-aware of not only how I showed up, but how I authentically showed up to be who I am.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I think, let me tell you first. I totally get it. I was just, when you said that, it reminded me, this wasn't even too long ago, a few years ago, I was interviewing with someone, me, for their job. I mean, for their company. And I was like, similarly, I was like, what a dick. I didn't say that out loud. But what I did was I at the end of it, I blew a raspberry. I blew a raspberry in the phone. I didn't know that. I didn't hang up. And I was like, okay, Shauna, get it together. I mean, you're just like, I don't. So I guess the reason why I give that is because I think like these are things that we have to constantly work on. And like, I think it's so great that you realized it at that time. But I love that you talked about this part of your evolution, because I think a lot of times as we're going through our career, we're like, do I have these skills on my resume, or I look at a job description, do I have these skills? And I think people, it's really important to start to understand that there's so much opportunity for evolution aside from that. And that's, I think, where the difference comes in, especially for really effective leaders. So again, thank you for sharing that. Okay, so you actually just shared that. I was going to ask you like one of your biggest lessons, but I think some of that was pretty evident in what you just shared.
That one definitely, one, I was like kind of, I was embarrassed definitely because like your card is showing, right? Like there's some vulnerability there. And two, like for me, that was definitely a pivotal point in regards to kind of rechanging the trajectory of how I want to be seen.
Yeah.
How I want to be able to control my emotions and also control where my career is going. Like, yeah, that was definitely a big recalibration of like where I saw myself going.
Yeah, that's great. So I mentioned this a minute ago. So I want to get to it, is selling. So the function of your role is selling. Right. And a lot of people cringe at the idea of the word, the mention of the word. So did you always embrace it? And I would love, you have such a great perspective on selling, which I wrote it down, so I don't usually look at notes, but you talked about the dynamic storytelling and recalibrating people's minds. So I would love for you to school us a bit in your philosophy on selling and how you got to embrace it.
Yeah, for sure. It's funny because, knowing that I was going to be doing this conversation with you, I've been thinking a lot about my journey in general. And my dad, it was pivotal growing up of being like, listen, I don't care how athletic you are, you're going to have to get a job at some point. And the character building jobs I've had over the years have really, I think, shaped me on how I feel about selling. A lot of my jobs had kind of an avenue of selling to them. So I think that it all came down to kind of these jobs primed me to be where I am now, so that I almost feel extremely comfortable. Mm-hmm. And it also kind of dovetails into habits. It really laid the foundation of kind of creating really good habits that can cultivate change. And I think once you kind of form habitual routines, you can truly train your brain for growth. Mm-hmm. So I guess in terms of like overall selling, I love the dynamic of someone being opposed to what I'm presenting and trying to almost debate, in a sense, for lack of a better term, about why this creates a synergy with what they necessarily hold the keys to. I think being able to not only identify and read them is a challenge that I enjoy. Being able to find commonalities between the two and common ground, I think, is another a great thing that you can really identify. And I think another thing that comes back to what, and this is personally speaking, what makes great sellers are people who have overcome a lot of adversity. For myself, I've overcome a lot of things. And I think there's this misnomer that if you have problems, you're not necessarily primed for success. And I think creating that like durability aspect mentally and physically at times is what creates such a strong guttural feeling to if someone's opposed to what you're selling, you look for other ways to kind of find a way to realign the conversation to move back in a positive direction. So long slide in a second in regards to like what really makes a good seller, but I think it really is a multitude of different core competencies that really build off of identifying yourself and your brand, what you're selling, what are the commonalities that resonate between the two, and kind of being able to build off of them so that you can find levels of agreeability between the two. Definitely listening, and I mean active listening, like looking people in the eyes, understanding what their problems are before you start to sell them and pitch them. And then four, providing value and like solution-oriented selling. I think far too long do we come in with like, this is what I have, look at this. How does that relate to my problem and what I have? So if you can't actively listen and empathetically try and sell to where the gaps are for the people that you're pitching to kind of align with the product that you're pushing, I think it's a big miss if you don't empathetically and consultatively listen and see where there's overlap when selling.
Absolutely. Empathetically and consultatively listen. That was really well said. And I think it's so important. Like throughout my career, I've had different parts of my roles were always in selling. And so as you're talking about it, I can definitely identify with that. And the reality is, to some degree, everybody's always selling, whether it's selling your own brand, selling your, you know, pitching yourself, so I think it's really good for, if anybody's listening and you're not in a selling role, I still think it's really relevant, the things that Mike just shared. So thank you so much for that. So we've touched on your corporate journey, and now I want to get into your content series and the impact you're making, which is actually why we were first introduced. So Keeping It 100 is awesome, folks. So I joined for the first time yesterday, actually, and joined one of the sessions, and it was so good. I was just telling Mike earlier, like, I literally couldn't take notes fast enough. It was so good. So I'm going to read, again, something I don't usually do, but I'm going to read a bit from something that Mike wrote to set the stage. I absolutely love it. So it says, while conversations range, this is talking about the platform itself. So while conversations range in topics, they never stray from transparency, providing value, and brutal honesty from the lens of the minority. We intend to empower one another through our adversities, helping to create the framework on how to never lose yourself while endeavoring to cultivate your dreams. So again, that's the foundation of it. So I'm going to pause. Please share with folks, what are you doing with your platform? What sparked it? And what do you see as next steps with it?
Sure. So it's ironic to be having conversations about the platform because of how it initially started. Very quick story that I think will provide context is after George Floyd being murdered, I felt obviously most of us really enraged and trying to channel it. I usually put that into working out. So I had about a 35, 40 minute gap in my day. It was really sunny out. And I was like, I'm just going to go for a quick run. I had my glasses, AirPods, had a t-shirt on, Black Lives Matter, and was running. So I live in Queens and I'm running and I'm running past three or four kind of pregnant women going for an afternoon jog or walk. I get maybe about a quarter mile past them. Cop car swerves right in front of me, cuts me off. I take my AirPods and sunglasses off. And I look at him, I was like, well, you stopped me for speeding, and kind of chuckled. And he's like, very funny. Let me see your ID. I'm like, I don't have ID. And he goes, I'm like, what's the problem? And he says, you know, we got a call about a disturbance in the neighborhood. You fit the description. I'm like, oh, how ironic. Someone jogging with tattoos and a Black Lives Matter shirt is a suspect in a disturbance in the neighborhood at 12:30 in the afternoon. He just continues to like berate me. And I said, you know what, dude, enough, man. Get your supervisor down here. At that point, he looked at me and like, forgive me, but he goes, you know, get some better fucking running gear, drops an N-bomb and drives off. I had my phone in my pocket, was not about to go try and pull that out to like record it or get the number. Anyways, I ran back to the house. I called my dad. I said, Pops, I can't keep it 100 with people at work. I'm getting ready to go into a meeting, but I'm like really emotionally drained, upset and hurt. And my dad really challenged me to put it that energy and those feelings and emotions into something that would benefit not only myself, but also be beneficial to others. And that's kind of how the platform evolved from there. And it started with elevating voices from different communities, marginalized communities, those who don't necessarily fit into a boardroom setting, to provide kind of breadcrumbs, if you will, for not only their journeys, how they faced adversity, but most importantly, how they overcame adversity or overcoming adversity currently, to be successful, to be pillars in their community, to provide inspiration, to provide contextual educational pieces as well, to uplift and inspire, to empower. I think it really has taken on a life for itself, and it's happened super organically. I can't stress how much I really get out of this series and how much it means to me to see others ping me and say, yo, like that conversation really hit home, or this really changed how I feel, how I look at different instances that are really impacting my day. So like, thank you. And I think once you align things with serving others, there's no better feeling in the world. It really is such a rewarding feeling to know that your purpose is to provide kind of a service for others to feel more empowered, to feel more confident about, you know, some of the issues that may be plaguing them.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for sharing that story. And as you were sharing it, I just got like the chills just because, you know, during that time, I remember so many times like trying to reach out to different people, not knowing how to support someone that I knew was, you know, in a situation, was subjected to things like that. You know, I actually remember messaging CJ, this is before you and I met, but messaging CJ, who we mentioned earlier, folks, a few times, and just saying like, I would pause and not even ask him, how are you? I was like, I can't imagine what it's like to be in your shoes. Like, just know that I'm supporting you. And I love that the way that you channeled it into action. And you did it in a way that's really unique to you, to the point, like you feel so passionate about it and were able to make an impact. And I think like, it is just so key when we are feeling that we need to do something, we want to do something. There are so many different avenues, you know, for myself, part of how I started this platform was because during that time, I was like, I need to do something. And, right. You know, I'm not someone who's going to go to a protest or a march. And so this was my way of trying to do that. So again, I love that, you know, you channeling that to try to make an impact in a way that's authentic, you know, to you. So again, just thank you so much for just being so real and sharing that. And I will say, like, when I was on yesterday, the audience, while they're listening, talk about a community so engaged.
Yeah.
It's incredible. And I think there was like 70 people. So the way that you do it is through a Microsoft Teams call, correct? A dial-in. That's how I gained access to it yesterday. So talk about like, who is it for? And as why I'm sitting over here hyping it, how do people gain access to it?
It's tough. Cause I think I don't want to say distribution, but you know, like distribution to others has been a challenge a bit for me. I've aligned it specifically so that from an identity perspective, it's parallel to our internal employee resource groups.
Okay.
But I also realize and understand that there are people who maybe don't necessarily have the privilege to speak to individuals that are specialists, that are, you know, gurus, savants of their industry, and have that accessibility to these kind of people. So I've also I've been really lucky and fortunate to share with people like yourself, who I really, you know, admire, and then other nonprofits that I work with, or there are other people that I may have worked with at different agencies or different kind of thought leaders who I think would really benefit from it. And they kind of share it from there. So it's been a very grassroots word of mouth elevation of the platform that it really has. It reminds me of the 90s, and I'm like, I don't say I'm dating myself because I'm only 37, but people selling music or clothes out of the trunk of their car, and people just been like, oh, that's a dope shirt. Where'd you get it? It's like, oh, I copped it from, you know, XYZ on 117th Street. Then all of a sudden this kind of matriculates and also, oh, this is FUBU.
That's awesome. So
yeah, it's been a little bit of a challenge in terms of getting it out to people, but I say that to say hit me up on LinkedIn, anyone, you know, find me. If you want to really benefit from these conversations, I have no qualms with sharing an invite into the conversation.
Nice, nice. All right, folks. So we've heard us, as I said, you've heard me hyping it. Anybody wants to gain access to it, you can hit me up. You can hit Mike up after this and get an invitation. So before we leave this part of the conversation, you mentioned it a minute ago, and I want to kind of zoom in on it, which is this topic of not fitting into a stereotypical sort of boardroom setting. And so another thing I'm going to read that you wrote about the platform is helping to navigate leadership in a world while not necessarily fitting into stereotypical boardroom setting. And I love that you talk about it, because I've never really felt like I'm a middle-aged white woman. Mm-hmm. So I theoretically should feel like I fit in, comparatively speaking, right? But because I've always beat to my own drum, I have to say, shout out to my crazy mom, crazy in a good way. I just never really felt like I fit in. And I remember going through it, even as a kid, right? I didn't fit in, obviously not boardroom, but didn't really fit in. And then over time I've learned to actually embrace that. But it is something that is a part of my evolution story, right? And I don't think people talk about it enough in the corporate world, that not everybody always feels like they're fitting in, and that can create difficulty in your evolution in your career. So I would just love to hear your thoughts about that. How has it been your experience, and how has that changed and evolved during your career?
It's man, it's been a continual evolution that's still happening. It's funny because I kind of have this, I forgot where I heard it, but it's kind of like a saying that goes good times create weak people create bad times, bad times create strong people create good times. And it's, to me, I think it embodies this kind of chip on your shoulder kind of approach to wanting to achieve greatness. And those are kind of the embedded kind of personality traits I would really look for in leaders. And I didn't necessarily relate to some of the leaders that had that chip on the shoulder kind of approach to how they were doing business. It was very much so a reactionary as opposed to responding. Leadership kind of trickle down, I don't want to say dictatorship, but kind of here are our marching orders and, you know, let's follow it. And there wasn't really this kind of roll up the sleeves, we're going to get in this and grab the shovel together and start moving in the same direction. So it's been a journey and a process to see and align myself with those who I really admire and can hope to kind of learn from. I think the main key I really try and look for in terms of leaders and people who I want to work for in terms of like the corporate setting are like, how much can I consistently learn from them on the daily basis? Even if it's little small mannerisms, and like idiosyncrasies that are going to, you know, improve me that much more. I think those are kind of the things that I look for when I'm looking at that corporate setting from a leadership perspective. And I just wasn't necessarily getting that. And I think that's something that we all kind of struggle with because we want to see versions of ourselves in these successful settings. And I think, you know, there's definitely ceilings where we're limited, where we don't see ourselves in the respective roles that we're working within. It's going to be a consistent battle. I think that's where, you know, you have to really check your emotions and kind of understand that you have to be that that litmus to spark that change and to start to change the trajectory of how that boardroom is looking.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there is, to your point, there is that like continual evolution, and doesn't mean that it ever gets easy. You know, I remember earlier in my career when I was working in, you know, sports and entertainment, the eye of the needle in it, and being the only woman in the room or walking into a conference and being one of the only women there. You know, so I remember at times it feeling hard at times. And there's different things that I feel are, you know, I feel don't fit in. But it is something that just over time is really looking to like embrace that, change that, and look for, I love that you talked about like what you look for in leaders, and continue to work on that evolution. So I'm glad we talked about that one. So the last big topic I have here is mindset, which I, as I've gotten to know you, it's like every time I talk to you, you share just a little bit more of yourself, your mindset, a little nugget. I just love how transparency and intention are so core to who you are and how you operate. And part of that is you shared something with me about like betterment daily, as a concept, like being better daily. And the thing is like, that's not, people can say that it's not always easy. If the day that you got, you know, approached by that cop, the, you know, whatever the challenges are that you're facing, I feel like if you have that mindset, we have to constantly work on it, right? So I would love for you to share, like, where did you come up with that? How do you operate with it? And then, but also how do you nurture it and fuel it so that you can stay true to it every day?
It's super hard. It's something that you have to be really consistent with. I always say this, I say at the gym to like people I work out with, but I also say it to like a lot of my colleagues, like consistency over perfection every time. I don't want to, you know, to give off this impression that that kind of mindset and emotional regulation and evolution is something that just comes easy to me, because it damn sure doesn't. You know, I ruminate, I brood. Like most people, yeah, I overthink things. So I think there has to be an acknowledgement on yourself of like level setting, of identifying what your values are and the things that you want to work on, and kind of being self-compassionate in regards to where are your gifts versus your gaps, and saying, you know, I may be really good at, you know, not sweating the small stuff, but then I also like maybe have these large goals that aren't really realistic in terms of being digestible. Maybe I need to create smaller incremental steps of how I see myself progressing. And then like, how can I hold myself accountable to those steps? And if I miss one, am I going to, you know, reset myself back to like a negative perspective? Because I'm like, damn, like you were supposed to do this, you were supposed to do that. I really try and prime and start my day with like little pockets and windows of where I can self-serve. And that can be from meditating. It can be from waking up and just saying a couple really kind words to myself, taking some deep breaths and kind of, again, priming what I'm grateful for, where my gratitude lies, who I'm grateful for, and then who can I serve that day. I at least once a day try to give a really intentional text or email or something to someone that like serves them. And it's not like, yo, that was a great comment you made, or, yo, I love those sneakers you posted, or I saw that picture of your kids. It's like, hey, like, I really appreciate that post you made about, you know, dealing with some tough emotions. Like, I too suffer from that. I've been doing some journaling. Like, what are you working on that you're doing that's really helping you? And getting to the crux of like something that's really impactful and just meaningful in terms of a thing that you're grateful for to someone else. One, I think it serves them, but it also serves yourself. So long-winded answer, but I think there's a multitude of different things that you can do that are self-serving, but you have to be consistent about it. If you're not consistent, you're just kind of going to be in this limbo area of kind of progress, regress.
Yeah, absolutely. It truly is. I just love the way you talk about it, because, you know, I think someone can look at you and just, oh, it comes naturally, or, you know, and it's so important for people listening that like the way that you operate, and I can identify, because we have a lot of similarities there. And these are things that, like, I know you work on daily. Thank you for sharing the various techniques. You know, I work on daily, and, you know, and as you said, like, yeah, some days are going to be better than others, and you have to kind of meet yourself with some grace in that. But I think that the more we are take moments like this to share it with people, then we can start to like get little nuggets and like, oh, okay. Someone may hear you say the word self-serve, and that could be like, oh, that's the thing that triggers them tomorrow to do that. But I also think like you have a plan, and it's not like you just one day decided to write them all down, but you have I talk about it as like tools in your toolbox. You have a whole toolbox, treasure chest kind of the things that you can pull on to help yourself. And so anybody who's listening, I just really highly recommend that if you're considering doing these type of things, if you're considering that, if mindset becomes even more important for you, really recommend having a variety of things that you can call upon any day throughout the day. Because, you know, as you and I were talking recently, like, you know, so there's times your inner voice gets kind of shaky, you know, self-doubt comes in, all of that. And so it's great to have those little and big things that we can do. So just one last thing is, you know, you gave your own example, and, you know, that happened around the George Floyd incident, and like, we were also talking about this, like, that's just the challenges that we've been facing over time, especially in the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. You know, as a young Black man, I'm sure, like, I can't even imagine, as they said about CJ, I can't even imagine what it's felt like along the, you know, the especially these time. And, you know, I think, you know, even as I was sharing with you, like on MLK Day recently, I was spitting angry that it's 2022 and we're still fighting for voting rights. Right. And so I think, I don't know, I just wanted to say, like, I think that I bet that some of this mindset work that you've done and honed has become incredibly important, especially during these last couple of years.
Yeah. Yeah, I like there's definitely something I would love to share that I think has been really impactful. It's been something that I've learned throughout this pandemic that's been really helpful for me. And I don't want people to think that this is, it could be overwhelming, right? Like name dropping all these things that you can be doing, but like you really have to major in the minor things and like pick up one or two things that you feel you can do consistently. Right. And that's going to start to pave the road towards a healthier lifestyle. There's an old saying, I can't remember who said it, but like a healthy person has a million dreams, a person who isn't has one, right? So like you have to really start cementing these kind of like practices. And I think one that is very easy to do, and there's kind of four pillars that create this overarching technique is self-discipline, self-distancing. Because I think this is a practice we can do really easy. You don't have to go out and really buy anything, books, et cetera. And it really stems around four different pillars that I think encapsulate self-distancing, and it's visualizing an observer. So that's like really encouraging yourself to be a fly on the wall and observe that challenging experience and separating it and saying like, oh, like what would The Rock do in the situation? What would, you know, what would Bruce Willis and Die Hard do? What would Batman do? Like just separating yourself and like being an observer to the instance that you're experiencing, and kind of creating that distance to be like, okay, how would they respond to it? Then secondly, it's avoid using the word I, and kind of use a third person conversation. Huge Knick fan. I have a hat on right now. It says New York or nowhere. So forgive me, all my Knick people, for this analogy. But when LeBron James was talking about going to Miami, he said, like, LeBron James has to do what's best for LeBron James, right? So being able to use your own name and a non-first person pronoun during self-talk, you're able to see social stressors as challenging rather than threatening or like kind of anxiety provoking. That's really big, right? Like when you're in the crux of like shit hitting the fan, it's being like, Sean, like, you've done this before, you can do this again. You've been able to kind of identify this, you know, a million different times. You have this. Instead of saying I. Thirdly, it's journaling and meditating. I think though, even if it's 5 minutes a day, I try and journal at least 5 minutes a day. Expressive writing and meditating. This will allow you to just kind of use fewer negative emotional words, which I think you internalize those labels when you use those words. Like, yeah. I am stressed. The hell does that mean? Like, it can mean a multitude of different things.
Right.
Last one is focus on your future self, which is kind of how I feel about this in 1 week, next week, a year, 2 days. You get cut off in traffic, like in 10 minutes, do you really remember what happened? I think if you take that same approach, all right, I get maybe some negative feedback on a connect or a perspective. Okay, like, does that define who I am? Or does that diminish my value? So being able to focus on your future self and where you're going to be ascending to, I think is another thing that is like a pillar of self-distancing. So I think if you can do those things and kind of understand, like, life is in the transitions, like you have to be able to smoothly move through those transitions.
Yes.
And I think these kind of pillars will create a really good toolkit for you to really serve yourself for that future self you're creating.
Yeah, absolutely. And so as you were talking, I just got this thought. So many times people are pour themselves into the work they do for a company. They pour themselves into molding their kids, into molding their staff. And folks, I cannot stress enough the importance of the work in molding yourself and finding these things that help yourself. Because, you know, I can say this from the adversities I've gone through since I was, you know, very young. So, like, nobody's going to do it for you. This kind of work that we're talking about, and, you know, people will step forward and lend these type of words that come so authentically. And they're really important. So rewind, go back, listen to what Mike said, jot down those pillars. And the way you talked about it, it was actually kind of funny if you're saying them. I'm like, yes, yes. You know, and so these are, I think there's a lot of us end up finding these different things, and there can be really similar in the things that we use. So you just said it so well. So thank you.
Yeah, no problem. To your point though, Sean, I think a really good thing that happens all the time that is like indicative of what you just said is like when you fly, and granted, a lot of us aren't really flying, but like they tell you, put your oxygen mask on first yeah. before you put on anyone else's. Like, I can't help you and serve you if I'm not breathing myself, right? So that's really clear kind of example of like how you have to take care of yourself first.
It's so true. I think the first time I heard that analogy related to this topic was a coach that I've worked with and just adore, Leslie Harris. He said that to me one day and I was like, oh, right. It's the same kind of concept of like, it's so good. It's also like, you know, you can't fill somebody else's cup if yours is completely empty. Again, these are similar thoughts, but again, got to work on the self and got to make sure that you're nurtured.
Let's see how many of these we can do. Like, I was going to go with like, you can't measure your success off of someone else's ruler. Like, let's see how many of these we can get.
I know. I swear. I think I would have to have you back on because you and I could riff for days on this stuff. I know we should start our own list, but I will let you go because I know you've got a busy day ahead of you. But before I do, is there any last one or two takeaways that you want to share with folks?
Sure. So I think two things that have been really important for myself that I'm praying are applicable and relevant to others are, first, what you practice grows stronger. So that can be internal talk, what you do with your family, how you, you know, implement things at work. Like whatever you practice in your private, you'll be celebrated for in public. So just whatever you practice, grow stronger. And that journey can start wherever you are currently. It doesn't have to be a timeline of, you know, I'll do this tomorrow, et cetera. And secondly, I think the intersection of kind of progress and pitfalls of your journey all really lies in your pause. And just like finding the strength in responding versus reacting, with understanding where you are currently is exactly where you're supposed to be. So like creating that time to just pause in moments of anxiety, of being overwhelmed and stressed, and giving yourself some grace and compassion. Self-compassion is something we all need to have more of. And just understand that like your progress is in your pause.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I feel like I needed this so much. And I hope, folks, that you get some light today, or anytime that you want to go back and listen to this as much as I did today, or even a smidgen, because I feel super filled up and full of gratitude. Mike, you're amazing. And I'll let you go. Have an amazing day.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.